The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter, not the smallest part of the letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yesterday we celebrated the most important event in the history of the world, when God, out of love for us to save us, took on our nature, became one of us, entered into our humanity in order to lead us all the way through the desert of life to the eternal promised land of heaven. Today we have a commentary on how the Lord wants us to draw near to Him who draws near to us in our presence. Just as we know, Jesus did all of this, but some still reject and don't receive the free offer of salvation. Today in the readings, the Lord is describing means by which He draws near to us, but He doesn't force us to draw near to Him. He wants us freely to respond. Begins with the Lord's holy law. One of the most beautiful passages of the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 4:7, we have this passage. "What great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as the whole law which I am setting before you today? What great nation is there that has gods so close to it as the Lord our God is to us?" Whenever we call upon Him, the Lord draws close to us in His holy word. He didn't want to leave us in moral and communal anarchy. He drew near and fleshed His word for us so that we would know how we're supposed to behave toward Him, how we're supposed to behave toward others, how we're to draw close to Him precisely in others, how to train us really to love others rather than take advantage of them according to our own egos and gratification. That's what the law is. In the responsorial psalm today, we have a little glimpse of all of the psalms which rejoiced in the Lord's law. He's proclaimed His word to Jacob, His statutes and His ordinances to Israel. He's not done thus for any other nation. His ordinance he has not made known to them. Do we look at the law of the Lord as an incredible treasure, as a means by which, in each of those, the Lord is saying to us, "I love you"? Do we look at the commandments that way? Do we look at the entire revelation that way? Most of the time, frankly, we don't. Why? Because the devil wants to tempt us to be gods rather than to be creatures loving God and loving others. We think that freedom means that we have the ability to choose to do whatever we want to do. If we want to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, go for it. And don't just take one bite, take whole bushels of that fruit. That's not real freedom. Freedom is the ability to do what we ought to do, to correspond to the way that God has made us. And God's given us that owner's manual, in a sense, in the law that He's given. And we'll truly be a wise people when we grasp that. At the very end, God tells the Israelites what He's asking of them. Take care. Guard this treasure. Earnestly be on your guard not to forget the things which your own eyes have seen, nor let them slip from your memory as long as you're alive, but rather teach them to your children and to your children's children. One of the greatest ways that we remember God's law is when we teach it to others. One of the greatest gifts of the priesthood is that in order to be able to feed you, I've first got to be fed. I can't do my job unless I am waiting in the Word of God. Likewise, if you're going to remember it, You've got to have people to whom you teach it, because it's not just for you. It's for everyone entrusted to you. Jesus picks up on that in the Gospel today, taken from the Sermon on the Mount. He says that the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and the Lord has made us not to be mediocre, not to be losers, the Lord has made us to be great. And he teaches us one of the three ways he indicates in the Gospel of that path to greatness. Whoever follows, obeys, and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But the least will be the one who breaks them, and by that scandalous example teaches others to break them. To be great, we need to know the law, we need to rejoice in the law, we need to follow the law the Lord has given us. We need to fulfill the law as Jesus himself came to do. And then we need to pass on that incredible treasure to others. What nation is so lucky that it has a God so close to it who teaches us his laws and decrees about all of these little things? When we draw near to the law of God, not just on the outside but in the inside with our heart, we're drawing near to God. When we don't keep the law, we're separating ourselves from the Lord. When we teach others the holy law of God, we're giving them the opportunity to draw close to God. When we don't teach them, we're robbing them of that chance. And often, if we set a bad example, drawing them further and further away from the Lord as we ourselves wander. One of the aspects of this annual catechumenate, you could call it, which is the Lenten season, which we ponder the meaning of our baptism and the conversion that's required in order to live by that baptism. One of the parts of that is for a revolution in the way we look at God's teaching. Most of us don't love it, because if we did love it, we would be spending as much time as we can to enter on into it. We may not hate it, but a lot of the times it's reluctantly there, and we don't really want to put in the effort to get to know it intimately. The Lord wants a change there. You know, during the initial catechumenate, when adults would be preparing for baptism, it was a period of intense study so that they would grow to know the law of the Lord, so that they'd know exactly what they would need to do to follow him on that path to happiness. You know, we've watered various things down. Today, you know, I'm embarrassed about it. I used to, when I had more time, always do preparation for catechumens myself. I would do preparation for adult confirmation all by myself so that people would get it. I don't have the time to do it anymore. And instead, what do you've got for adult confirmation? You've got 4 2-hour classes. Imagine if that's all that I got for the priesthood. 4 2-hour classes for the priesthood. Would I be a good priest? To start. But in the early church, there was tremendous study because they knew that they were opening up this infinite treasure chest, and it was a pathway to heaven. They were drawing near to the Lord the more they drew near to his word. So that's a real conversion that we need. To be able to put the Word of God in its proper place, zealously to come to study it. Which is why I admire so much those Catholics in our parish who make the commitment every Wednesday to come to Bible study. Not the only way to learn the Bible, but for Catholics who are intimidated, who don't think they're going to be able to learn the Bible on their own, it's a great service that we're offering, so that people can draw close through the expertise and little by little enter into that communion with the Lord through his law. Several years ago, Pope Emeritus Benedict wrote an essay based on Deuteronomy 4:7 about how lucky we are to have the law given to us by the Lord. But he used it as a launching pad to describe how we should approach Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. If it's true that the Israelites were incredibly fortunate to have God give them the minutiae of the law which Jesus came to fulfill, Pope Emeritus Benedict asked, how much luckier are we where that word is literally taken on flesh and comes to us in Holy Communion, that God dwells on our altars, that when we come and spend time with Him in Eucharistic adoration, we're in the presence of God. No other nation, no other people, no other religion has a God so near to us as the Lord our God is to us. It's unbelievable. Even closer than the Word is the Word made flesh. But then we could go even beyond that and say God wanted to be so near to us that not only does He come into our presence so that we can come and be in His presence, but He wants literally to enter inside of us in a holy communion, that if it's a real holy communion, it's going to be a communion not just this interpersonal exchange that occurs when we literally make love with the Lord in the act of Holy Communion, the bride becoming one flesh with the bridegroom. But if we're really entering into communion with the Lord, then we will enter into communion with the Word that has become flesh. He's come down in order to show us how to live by the treasure of the Word of God. And the more in communion with Him we are, the more together with Him we will seek to fulfill all the law. And that begins by knowing it. The Lord Jesus wanted not just to speak His words at us. He wanted to speak His words within us. And He wanted to help us through the moral life to align our entire life with Him in His fulfillment of the Word. That is the Christian moral life. That is what the treasure of the Word of God makes possible, and communion with the Word made flesh makes possible. Let's never forget ever how lucky we are.